Thursday, July 7th, 2011. These are the voyages of the Honda Odyssey. Its 3-day mission to, well, we're not exactly sure. I'm Odysseus, and Noel is Barry.
Odysseus's lesser-known pal, Barry.
Odysseus and Barry, they traveled the roads in search of a story.
In a tradition that stretches from Homer to Kerouac, Craig Richardson and I recently traveled south from Colorado Springs on Highway 115 toward a journey of discovery with no particular destination other than the road itself. Little did we know then that we'd soon meet a feline city administrator, a man who still typesets a weekly newspaper by hand, the caretaker of one of America's most amazing rest stops, and the great-great-grandson of one of the men who dug what is, arguably, Colorado's most fascinating ditch.
But for now, it's just us, the Honda Odyssey, a jar of milk, and various sundry expeditionary necessities as the roadside attractions sing their siren songs. Penrose, Colorado, the corner of Highway 115 and Fremont Street, sits the world's largest rocking chair.
America.
21 feet tall, 14 feet wide.
America.
9,100 pounds.
America.
Yeah, that's a dinosaur. Let's stop. That's a Stegosaurus.
America.
Here on Highway 50, just outside of Canyon City, lies what appears to be a steel Stegosaurus.
Oh, I wish I was deep in America tonight.
The inmates and employees of the State of Colorado Fremont Correctional Facility contributed 4,500 hours of labor to build the Stegosaur.
By the time it dawns on us that Buckskin Joe's Park and Railway no longer exists near the Royal Gorge, it's already 7 p.m. We have no idea where we're going or where we're going to sleep. So we turn off Highway 50 onto Colorado 9 and drive north through the rolling hills on the backside of Pikes Peak.
Speedometer on the Honda Odyssey goes up to 160 miles per hour. Do you think we could get this thing going 160 miles an hour?
I don't think so. Not unless we were plummeting towards our deaths.
Like off America's mountain.
Yeah.
Though its population fluctuates between a mere 25 and 98 depending on the season, Guffey, Colorado would be difficult to miss even at dusk.
That would be because of the horse skeletons pulling a decrepit prison wagon with a man baby inside at the ad hoc park across from the Guffey Garage on the main drag.
The park and the Guffey Garage, which serves now as a repository for animal skulls, pelts, auto part sculptures, old clawfoot tubs, and myriad other items of dusty and rusty esoterica, belong to Bill Sue, a Vietnam veteran with a white beard and ponytail who settled in Guffey almost 40 years ago and made it into a kind of breathing ghost town.
Coming here, there was six people in town, born and raised, and me. And I bought the general store. Next thing, I started buying all the land, you know. And bought the city hall, 73.
Sue drinks Milwaukee's best out of beer cozies fashioned from old tin cans of corn.
Hey, what's up? Did the fire go out?
Okay. Along with a park and the garage, he owns a group of small cabins and watches over the town's mayor, a black cat named Monster. He also started the town's infamous 4th of July chicken fly.
Well, you bring a chicken or rent a chicken from us, and you go up the chicken tower, and it's 12 feet tall, and you put the chicken in the chicken launch, which is a mailbox, all red velvet inside, sandpaper on the door, back's gone. Close the door, stick that chicken in that little red warm velvet box. I'll hand you your chicken plunger. And I'll say, how far? And you go, Colorado Springs. Pa-chow!
When we ask him if there's a place nearby to car camp, he points us toward his neighbor Cindy, who lives with a full-blooded wolf named Lakota. She offers us both a place to park out behind her cabin and front porch hospitality fit for the ancient Greeks.
A former prison guard and animal lover, Cindy's on the hunt for the person who recently killed a local family of foxes. After food and drink, she coaxes Lakota to howl for us using a barking hand puppet.
After that, she decided it was time to watch a movie about a serial killer.
Yeah, you got pretty freaked out.
Well, what with all the skeletons and wolves and...
Are you all right?
Get away!
Ah! After what was a pretty terrible night of snuggling in the back of the Honda Odyssey, we awoke to this sound.
On top of everything else, Bill Sue had a peacock.
Undaunted, we packed up early and set forth in directions south and west once again toward...
victory!
Was here, the west was burning, I was on in my own sleep, and I woke up dreaming about you.
In Salida, we pass a roadside memorial fashioned from the hull of a canoe and stop at a beautiful little pet cemetery filled with simple white wooden crosses with names like Lilbit Williams, Gidget Scuffka,
Scooter Morrissey, Rusty Holt, Watson Clark, Tiffany Sanchez, Laddie Ermish, Coco Morrissey, Topsy Martin, Bitsy Clark.
From there, we made our way over to the San Luis Valley, where we stopped to admire a barbed wire fence along a dirt road where the posts were studded with sun-desiccated old shoes and boots.
In the northwest end of the valley, we stopped in the old-timey little town of Sawatch, from which time itself seems to have taken its leave.
An antique shop run by a transplanted New Yorker, a movie theater with the original post-war marquee, the post office and a bright yellow wood and brick facade with a hand-painted sign that reads Sawatch Crescent. These are the only businesses open along a colorfully painted three-block main street. Even when I first visited the Crescent over 15 years ago, it was, then, one of the only remaining handset linotype print shops and newspapers left in the U.S. Now, says Dean Combs, third-generation owner and publisher, it's one of two.
This machine, this linotype, was built in 1921. I wouldn't be surprised that it could be the oldest continuous-running linotype in the world, actually. It fundamentally makes a lid.
Piles of metal shavings from the machine gleam on the foot-worn planks.
Teeming stacks of old newspaper and invoices teeter atop every flat surface.
Water-stained wallpaper bubbles up beneath old calendars, newspaper clippings, and curling black-and-white photos.
Yet as Dean moves through the shop to explain these now arcane processes of newspaper printing, it's clear that beneath the seeming entropy lies the equally anachronistic logic of one who labors by himself and for the love of the work.
You know, you just go on one day after another. You can't miss a week because the Crescent is a publication of record. Even if I didn't have legal publications, I would still have to print. You can't miss your publication date. You can get glimmers of the end. You know, that day when it's really hard. And I'm not saying it's a misery. I'm just saying that sometimes you just feel that the end is somewhat coming. Not near. I wouldn't say it's near at all. I could be doing this 30 years from now, as far as it goes.
Technically, there are no articles in the Sawatch Crescent. Only legal notices, event listings, and light items written by locals about the goings-on in the community.
And the content itself is just a matter of course where Dean's work is concerned.
Before long, the unending work calls, and he sits down to set type at the whirring hulk that sits in the front window.
Put the type into the forms.
Though clinical types might describe him as obsessive-compulsive, the pleasure he takes in his work at the linotype machine is palpable as he pecks at the keys and drops space bands into its chattering teeth.
The sheer fact of the paper's continued existence in the age of the internet when so many newspapers are disappearing is practically a miracle.
The real people went away. I'll find a better way someday.
Next stop, Shaw Creek Rest Area, east of Del Norte. Literally translated, that's east of from the north.
This is definitely propane country out here.
Yeah.
A lot of propane tanks, propane filling stations. A lot of people are off the grid out here.
Yes.
This is off-grid territory.
While a rest area is most often a convenient digression on the way to fairer destinations, today, it's our destination.
I stopped at this Colorado Department of Transportation rest stop briefly last year on my way to Ignacio and was taken aback not only by its near holy cleanliness, but by its myriad unexpected charms. It has a guest book, a fantastic tile mosaic of a deer, and handmade seasonal decorations. And all this while many other rest stops throughout the state have been shut down to save money. Fourth of July decorations and plastic birds cover the sides of the restroom, and peach purple and white columbines explode in the flower beds that ring the rest stop when we arrive.
In a garage out back, we meet Nicole Friedrich, a Department of Transportation employee who's been taking care of this one rest stop for the past 8 years.
It was started about 10 years ago with a lady before me that was working here. She started it, and we just picked it up. There's another guy, Tim Cruz, and the two of us, we just whatever comes across our fancy, we do. As long as it's not something that someone might find offensive, we try to please the public. Yeah.
Friedrich takes us into the restrooms to show us some of the things she's done. On the women's side, which was built of glazed yellow bricks, there are framed pictures of pressed flowers in each of the stalls. A plant hangs in the window. There are floral runner papers lining the ceiling throughout.
And in the men's bathroom, which is constructed of blue-green glazed bricks, there's a runner with cowboy cartoons in between horseshoes cut from felt.
We ask her why she does it, why she keeps the place so beautiful.
I think it's public appreciation. We also get a lot of support from our bosses. CDOT is very, very good to us, so it's the combination.
While awe is probably the last sentiment most rest stops inspire, it's clear from the comments in the guest book we're not the only ones who feel it.
Very nice and clean rest stop. Teresa, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We appreciate the rest and beauty. Daryl, Holy Cross, Iowa. Very pretty. Larry and Ann, St. Louis, Missouri. Always nice here. Evans family, Amarillo, Texas.
Everything is moving so fast. I am unlimited. Everything is moving so fast.
We thank her and now turn eastward back across the San Luis Valley toward the Sangre de Cristo Mountains and the Grande Meats Outlet Store, home of Driveway Meat Poems.
Feeling low and kind of quirky? Make your day. Try elk jerky.
Time's getting tougher. Missing your mommy? Hey, feel good right now. Try elk salami.
As uplifted as we are by the jerky verse, as night nears, thoughts of another night snuggling in the back of the Odyssey turn our attention towards civilized accommodations. And lo, as we near the town of Monte Vista, what to our wondering eyes would appear?
Best Western Movie Manor Inn is an oasis of analog nostalgia in the desert of digital distractions.
Imagine in your mind's eye a two-story, crescent-shaped motel arising like a mirage along a vast stretch of empty highway.
Just to the east of it, two large drive-in movie theater screens stand stark and white like two blank billboards. We swindle the KRCC news director into buying us a room, check into the Charlton Heston suite, and watch a stray dog eat last night's popcorn from the parking lot. As soon as the sun sets, cars from the nearby town of Monte Vista will stream into the parking lot.
Meanwhile, guests at the movie Manor activate and adjust their in-room speaker boxes.
Pressing the button in 3, 2, 1.
Though there are two screens, there's only one movie viewable from the hotel rooms.
And tonight, it's Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Second-generation owner George Keloff grew up at this motel drive-in, which his parents built in 1955. Now in its 56th year, Keloff says that though the location is remote, it's been the perfect window for watching American culture change over the past half century.
It was crazy in the 50s and 60s. You know, drive-ins were called passion pits. And, you know, it was you know, you brought the date out, and it was, you know, a lot of times the movie didn't get watched. The windows got steamy, and things were private out here in your own car. But really now we're more family oriented. It's a mom and dad and the kids. We only play family fair movies, G, PG, and PG-13. We do not play R movies here. So we've kind of targeted more to families here.
Like Keloff's family, many in attendance tonight are second and third generation drive-in enthusiasts.
Clinton and Terry Phillips grew up in Monte Vista and have been coming to the movie Manor for more than 20 years.
Well, actually, tonight it's our anniversary, so that's why we're out here. But we just enjoy being kind of in your own environment and still being able to go out and watch a movie.
I think it's easier to come here just because you can bring your kids, obviously. And I just like the comfort of being in your own car and it's quiet. So if she starts crying, we don't have to worry about, you know, picking up and leaving.
Tom DeMolin is from Denver. He and his family have been stopping here on their way to the Grand Canyon for the past 19 years.
This is always a good little rest stop on the way to the Grand Canyon for us, and we just love the kitsch. You know, there's nothing like it around. I don't think there's any drive-ins in Denver anymore.
Richard Appleton, DeMolin's father-in-law, loves the remote setting.
My granddaughter and I just walked about a quarter mile out into the field, and there are no fences, no this, no that, and we were just out in nature, and to have the drive-in not in the middle of the city is a unique experience.
Craig and I settle down in the room with a bag of popcorn and a pair of refreshing beverages and relish the wonderful absurdity of watching a film through a window on a screen several hundred yards away with the darkened television mere feet from our faces.
Yeah, we did. You remember that?
One fine morning, I'm gonna ride out.
East to Monta Vista and on to Alamosa. From Alamosa, we turn south and head toward Antonito.
Yeah, one fine morning, I'm gonna ride out.
Old sod-roofed structures, a junkyard filled with nothing but rusty drums from concrete trucks like so many forsaken space capsules.
Just me and the skeleton crew.
In Antonito, we stop to admire the craftsmanship of Hano's Castle, a hand-built temple to Jesus fashioned largely from aluminum cans and soda bottles.
In a country kind of silent.
From Antonito, we drive through the searing heat of the barren high desert to the Rio Grande and on to San Luis, the oldest town in Colorado.
We're gonna ride out in a country silent.
In San Luis, we meet Joe Gallegos, the great-great-grandson of Dario Gallegos. Dario's name is the first listed on a placard next to the Long Canal founded in 1852 that helps irrigate 2,700 acres of this otherwise arid valley.
Known as the People's Ditch, this acequia, as it's called in Spanish, might look to the untrained eye like just that, a ditch, until you hear Gallegos describe its importance to the people of San Luis.
Therefore, the acequia or ditch, it's not quite just a ditch. It's a community ditch system that's operated by families mainly, and it's kind of more of an equitable way of distributing the land.
This style of irrigation requires that the plots of farmland be long, downward-sloping rectangles called extensiones that lie below the ditch so that the water can flow by gravity to as many plots as possible along its length. Gallegos draws it out in the dust on the hood of his truck.
That design came from Spain, which came from the Moors and when they were in Spain. So that's why we're so unique here, is that we're one of the few places in Colorado that have that long lot extension design. It's an old traditional way of laying out your land.
Perhaps most amazing is that all water allocation within the acequia is handled through an elected mayordomo, and all disputes are handled internally by those farmers and ranchers who use the acequia rather than in the court system.
Decreed water user, they're called parciantes here. So I'm a parciante. If I have an issue with somebody down the line or somebody up above the line, or we try to work it within the acequia, we'll have, say, somebody's being taking water out of turn or something, and he's not being cooperative with the ditch, we'll have two people go and talk to him as neighbors and friends and try to settle the problem. We really hate doing anything the legal system way. It doesn't seem to work very well, and plus it costs a lot of problems and enemies. But we have methods of doing stuff that that are much different than.
Gallegos invites us back to his historic farm and ranch to see his crops and offers us a large bunch of radishes from a weedy row.
If you don't have weeds, you're not organic, man.
Gallegos is worried that state water laws may one day override the traditions of the acequias and their communities. But in the meantime, he hopes that education and respect for the importance of the acequia tradition will continue to connect the people and families of San Luis.
The sacred medium. That's what keeps us together, is that sacred medium right there. And in a high altitude desert as we are, where we get less than 9 inches of precipitation, drought conditions right now, we really appreciate water. So you have to understand that too. You know, it's very sacred around here. Doesn't look like it's a desert, but the Esequias have kept it this way because we distribute the water.
It's never easy to say goodbye. To the faces
though, our odyssey through Southern Colorado was only 3 days long, we met some amazing people.
It was refreshing to know that there are still places where people have managed to keep their local identities and traditions alive.
It was a good trip.
Yeah, it was a good trip.
I asked the room if I'd said enough. No one really answered. They just said, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go. Well, all this leaving is never ending. I kept hoping for one more question, or for someone to say, who do you think you are? So I could tell them intensity, a drop evaporates by law. In conclusion, leaving is easy when you've got someplace you need to be. I'm giving up this gig for another season. TV on mute, I'm listening back to the tapes on the hotel bed. My, my, my apocalypse. My, my, my apocalypse. I realized I had said very little about waves or wheels, or riding for the feeling, riding for the feeling is the fastest way to reach the shore. On water or land, riding for the feeling, 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 riding for the feeling. If I had stood there at the end and said again and again and again and again and again, riding for the feeling, 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 riding for the riding, for the riding, and for the ride, riding for the feeling, riding for the feeling, riding for